Hey everybody, welcome back to Casa Walsh, a Beverly Hills 90210 podcast. My name is Sam, and on today's episode, we are going over season 7, episode 11, called If I Had a Hammer, and it premiered on November 27th, 1996. Alright, so this one starts, and there are people dressed as bears in CU Student Union. Just want to put that out there. Weird, whatever. Donna's checking in on David, who's still acting strange after what happened in Las Vegas. He picks a fight with her, naturally, telling her that he can't live up to her standards. And as she leaves, he's screaming, yelling at her that he doesn't need her, he doesn't need his father, and then he kind of breaks a glass and cuts his hand and then starts bringing a lot of attention to himself. And another student offers to help him, he snaps, and Donna kind of comes back and she's like, "What's wrong with you?" And he kind of then realizes, hey, maybe something is wrong with me, because he's now gushing blood from some random glass that he slapped, and I don't know. So, being that this episode premiered on November 27th, that means this is probably a Thanksgiving episode. It is. So, Thanksgiving is approaching, and Brandon wants to host dinner at the Walsh house for everyone, of course, because that's what he does. Valerie reminds him that he's going to have to invite Mark, because Mark and Kelly, I guess, are a couple now. So where he goes, she goes. Now, I still find this interesting. Does Mark not spend Thanksgiving with his family? Why don't TV shows do this all the time? Like, I am very partial to the Friends Thanksgiving episodes. I think they're really, really funny. But in all 10 seasons of Friends, I believe that Monica and Ross's parents were present in one. Now, most people spend Thanksgiving with their families. Now, a thing started, I'd say, kind of more recently. I don't think it was always a thing, called Friendsgiving, which people do have a Thanksgiving dinner with their friends, but one on actual Thanksgiving Day, you usually do that with your family, but not in TV world. TV world, you do it Thanksgiving with your friends. And they're in college. They're still kids. Like, why? I don't know. Like, the first few seasons, I feel like some of them were with their parents and then they ended up at the Walsh house, but I don't know. But anyways, Mark would have to be invited. Now, Tracy, however, I don't really understand what the status is with her and Brandon. Like, are they together? Are they not together? They like each other. He doesn't want something serious, but she likes him. It's so weird. They've kissed maybe once or twice, but I don't know. But apparently, Tracy is home with her family for Thanksgiving. So Tracy's kind of a normal character because that's what she's doing. Everyone else, I guess not. So Nat tells them to invite Willie, the cook, tells them that Willie the cook, we've seen Willie in the background numerous episodes, Willie and Nadine, always at the Peach Pit. Apparently, Willie has been offered a house from Habitat for Humanity, which is a real thing, but he'd like his niece and his nephew need to do a lot of work to build it. So he wants the gang to help out with Willie and his family on Thanksgiving. It's for Habitat for Humanity, and Brandon and Valerie naturally quickly agree, because it's for Willie and it's for a good cause, and I guess they're in a giving mood. And I mean, I guess it's a little bit out of character for Valerie, but whatever. So Don and Mel are now talking about David's issues, and they took him to the hospital, where Mel now tells Donna that he saw David's behavior kind of a year or two ago in Sheila, David's mom, who we know is bipolar. So the doctor took care of David's hand calls a psychiatrist to address his frantic matter, because I guess that does happen. Obviously, there's psychologists, psychiatrists on staff at these hospitals, and they're there for these type of situations. So David is now trying to make excuses for his behavior. Then he uses the whole, this is, you know, how I am story. And the psychiatrist, his name is Dr. Tate, isn't really buying it. He's kind of, you know, he's kind of onto David. And we'll talk a little bit more about him soon. So back at CU, Steve appears before some sort of disciplinary board to address the fact that he recently turned in a paper, which basically is identical to a one that Brandon had wrote a few years later. Steve not only plagiarized it, but he did it for Professor Randall, also known as Lucinda's ex-husband, also known as the professor who hates Brandon. So you should remember that from a few years prior. This was freshman year of college when he was with Lucinda, and Professor Randall is now Steve's professor. And I guess Steve didn't know this. I don't know. But he turned it in, and it's not such a great thing for Brandon now. So Steve will be allowed to appear before another committee the following week. However, if convicted or something, he is facing expulsion. So he's a senior in college, and he can now get expelled for potentially stealing Brandon's paper. He stole Brandon's paper, but yeah. So anyways, so Brandon reminds Kelly about Thanksgiving at the Walsh house, but she has some unfortunate news for him, that she and Mark are planning to spend the weekend in Montecito together. So things may be picking up a little bit more between them. And of course, they're in Montecito for Thanksgiving instead of spending it with their family. So as they're talking, Brandon and Kelly spot Professor Randall, who comes over and pretends to talk nice to Brandon, even though he had left CU after the whole Lucinda thing happened, but he's back on campus. And he's doing some advisory stuff, like reviewing term papers, and he mentions that Brandon was always a good writer. So Randall kind of knows what's going on. Now, Brandon doesn't know about Steve and the paper and all this stuff now, but Randall clearly is goading him to an extent. So then Dr. Tate asks Mel and Donna if David has a family history of psychiatric problems. Mel names Sheila, who we know is bipolar, and Dr. Tate wants to admit David for a 72-hour hold to evaluate and diagnose him, and Mel gives consent. That's kind of, you know, I mean, he has been acting a little bit kind of off, so they're going to do this, but it's rough. But Donna offers to kind of stay. You know, Mel has patients to see and whatever, but Donna's going to stick around. I don't know if she's sticking around for the 72 hours that this hold is for, but she is planning on sticking around for David. She's being there for him. So Steve goes to the beach department to tell Claire about his kind of idiot issues, and she responds with, "How did I choose you over Dick, who is Phi Beta Kappa?" That means he's smart. And a prince, Prince Carl, who threw Steve's birthday party, which she is kind of smart for questioning at this point, because Steve is an idiot for doing this. You know, she's like, way to go doing this basically months before we graduate. But so she advises him to tell Brandon about what happened. Steve wants to talk to Chancellor Arnold instead and try to get some sort of, you know, see if he can kind of help. And Claire says, well, basically, you better tell Brandon before the dean gets to Brandon, because obviously it's Brandon's paper. So Brandon is going to have to be told or informed about this. You know, he potentially could have been involved. I mean, he needs to know, obviously, about this. So Brandon, Valerie, Mark, Nat, and Willie are first to the building site, followed by Claire and Steve. Why is Mark? I guess Mark is there because Kelly is there, even though she's not there yet. Whatever. So Steve finally, you know, they're there. Steve confesses to Brandon that he took the paper and Randall caught him. And Brandon quickly figures out that Randall knew. Brandon obviously wrote the paper, and that means he's obviously going to be gunning for Brandon. David is, I'm just skipping ahead. I do notes for these when I watch them, so I kind of just, that's where I get a little lost. But anyway, so moving along, Brandon's obviously pissed at Steve, rightfully so. Now, David is also understandably annoyed about having to stay at the hospital. He's refusing to take his prescribed sedative, which they want to give him. I don't know if that's required for these 72-hour holds, but it might be. And he also doesn't want to talk to his psychiatrist, Dr. Tate, about his recent behavior because, sure. Anyways, so Dr. Tate chats with Donna instead, and she tells him about when she and David went to look for Sheila in Portland a few years ago. She thinks David's trying to run away from himself, and Dr. Tate tells her that David's lucky to have her in his life, which is true because Donna is always there for David, and Donna's Donna, you know, she's the best. Kelly and Mark head to Montecito, learning on the way to their hotel that the reservation has been misplaced. She's not optimistic that they'll be able to find another place to stay on a holiday weekend, and Mark is fine with thinking of this as an adventure. These two are literally like watching paint dry. They are so fucking boring. I really can't even, it's a struggle. It's a struggle to watch them. Anyways, so Brandon learns that he is going to be charged with collusion for helping Steve plagiarize. Claire worries that, you know, basically she's following in her mother's footsteps since she always considered Chancellor Arnold as a project to work on. Okay, that's kind of sad. That's what your mom thought of about your dad, because you're kind of obsessed with your father. So I don't know. Anyways, so speaking of Chancellor Arnold, Steve's meeting with him, to discuss obviously the paper stealing thing. And, Chancellor Arnold basically says, I can't get involved in disciplinary matters. And you don't get immunity because you're going out with my daughter. And he's begging for him to, you know, help it, and he's just like, unfortunately I can't. And Chancellor Arnold says that he should have, you know, copied Brandon's good behavior instead of his paper. And I don't think Chancellor Arnold believes that Brandon really was involved in kind of the you know, letting Steve cheat. Like, that's just not Brandon. That's not just like, that's not Brandon at all. So just yeah. Anyways, so David meets with Dr. Tate, and though he tells him a little bit about his life, he won't talk about his feelings. David Tate wants to discuss Sheila's bipolar disorder, and David denies that he's like her. But Dr. Tate points out that he is genetically predispositioned to have what she has. David's blah, blah, blah about having a bad day, not having control, wanting to let off steam. And Dr. Tate tells him those are the lows. And, you know, he's been basically self-medicating with alcohol. And he adds that David has Mel and Donna, so he's not alone with dealing with this. Then we're back to the most boring couple in the world, Kelly and Mark. And they scramble to get a hotel in Montecito. Mark doesn't manage to get them, Oh, wait, they don't have a hotel still. So, but Mark gets them a dinner reservation at a 4-star restaurant in Lake Tahoe. Apparently he told them that he was Ronald Reagan to get the reservation. I don't know. Then I just can't with these two. Anyways, moving along, Brandon pleads innocence to collusion. Then Professor Randall, you know, he's just a douchebag. Randall won't drop the charges. Brandon accuses him of making this a personal matter, which, of course, Randy denies. I just called him Randy. He denies it, but obviously he's making it a personal matter, because it is a personal matter to him. Back at the work site, Valerie proves to know a lot about construction, apparently. She tells Claire that her father was a contractor and she used to work with him on houses. I don't believe that in any way, shape, or form. Anyways, she adds that before she moved to Beverly Hills, though, her father committed suicide. Which we did know, and Claire did not know about it. She sympathizes with her over losing a parent because Valerie, you know, she knows, you know, her mother's, you know, passed away, and Valerie admits that she doesn't have a lot of happy memories of her father, though, which I think they're setting up for future episodes, if that's a little bit of a spoiler for you. Back to the most boring couple in the world. They are at a fancy 4-star restaurant. Blah, blah, blah. They suck, so I don't really want to talk about them anymore. Then we see David, and he is in the hospital still, and he has a dream about kind of when he was looking for Sheila amongst those homeless people when they were in Portland. He finds her, and when she turns around, she turns into him. It doesn't take Freud to figure this one out. David finally is ready to now talk to Dr. Tate. Sheila arrives in Beverly Hills to meet with Donna at the hospital because Donna's just been sleeping there in the waiting room. She feels guilty about potentially passing her bipolar disorder to David. And Donna says that David will be happy just to have her support. Now, where is she living now, Sheila? Like, I know she's kind of in a good place, but I don't recall the fact that she left. I don't really remember, like, where she went. Because she came back to Beverly Hills after the whole Portland thing. Did she move? Like, when she got herself back? If they said it, I missed it. Because I don't recall this at all. But anyways, at the Walsh house, Brandon yells at Steve for being an idiot and dragging Brandon into his antics. No more computer for Steve because Brandon is bringing it into his room, which he probably should have just had. I guess he was being nice anyways to letting them use it, but Valerie's not stealing Brandon's papers. I think Valerie's smarter than one thinks. Wait, is Valerie going to school? Or is she just running the club? Whatever. But yeah, I mean, Brandon's kind of pissed about it, rightfully so. No more computer for, Steve. So Kelly and Mark do manage to get a motel room somewhere. But now, it's not going to be romantic in any way, shape, or form because she has gotten sick. Mark thinks she has the flu, but then gets sick himself. And apparently, you can get food poisoning at a 4-star restaurant. So much for this romantic weekend getaway. I don't know. But in the morning, they decide about should we go back to Beverly Hills and go to Brandon's for Thanksgiving. But they, you know, decide to stay put and just kind of lay in this hotel room for whatever reason. David's very happy to see Sheila, who tells him that she is, repaying him for the times that he was there for her. She wants to talk about their similar behavior, but he doesn't think that they should be compared. He has, however, been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Sheila knows that David likes his highs, but she's cautious that he needs to stop drinking or he'll have to face the lows too if he takes care of himself. He won't need medication though, so he just, I don't know. I mean, so he's been diagnosed with bipolar disorder but doesn't need medication? I don't think it works that way. Or was he I thought he was diagnosed. I could be wrong. But I also want to bring up the fact that I don't think this is ever really mentioned again. I don't know. But I feel that if you are diagnosed with bipolar, there is medication that helps you with your with this. I don't know. Anyways, so the members of the gang who've been working on the house gather with Willie and his niece and nephew for a Thanksgiving dinner. Valerie and Claire ask Brandon and Steve to kind of call a truce for the holiday. David shows up in time, ready for the meal, and asks Donna why she stuck around to help him. And she reminds him that he was her first love. They exchange I love yous and they kiss. So, are they back together? That's where the episode ends. So it is kind of like what's gonna happen next, but it seems that he's in a better place and they are potentially back together. I want to bring up though before I get to some other stuff. So the people that they show dressed as bears throughout the episode, if you noticed it, let me know because it's never explained or never mentioned. Maybe I'm just, I don't know. And also, Kelly got sick and Mark got sick from having caviar. And she did mention that she's never had caviar before. And growing up like rich Beverly Hills, I just kind of find that hard to believe. I don't know. I'll leave it there. But that, yeah, that is it for the episode. Fun facts and tidbits. So, this episode was directed by Jason Priestley, so I will say that. And I don't have any other fun stuff except for a spotlight. So the spotlight for this episode, you can kind of guess, I feel, who it is, but it is Dr. Tate himself, played by actor Tony Todd. Tony Todd was born on December 4th, 1954, which makes him 66 years old, and he was born in Washington, D.C. He has been in the business since 1986. So he kind of grew up in, born in DC, grew up in Hartford, Connecticut. That's kind of where he went to school there. And he attended the University of Connecticut, went on to study theater there, and then kind of just, fell into the business. He's done film, he's done, Broadway, he's been TV. He does the voice for a lot of video games and stuff. And he has been, he's pretty like, I mean, his like IMDb list is insane. I will say that I was petrified of this man. He did a series of movies called Candyman, and they were horror films. I think like early 90s they came out, and I remember the commercials for these movies. I mean, they did a bunch of them, I guess, throughout the 90s and stuff. And he was a villain in these horror films, and he would, you'd have to say, Candyman, 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 exactly what I did three times, and then he would appear. And it was petrifying. If you ever want to watch the trailer or watch the movies, you should. Yeah, they scared the shit out of me as a kid. And I don't even think I've actually ever seen a Candyman movie. It's just been the commercials for when they were on. He was also in The Rock, which I kind of love that movie in '96, and I think he did a couple of episodes. I don't remember exactly what season, but I think he did a couple of episodes of 24. which I was a big fan of that show. Yeah, I mean, like I said, if you look at his, I mean, it's just kind of nonstop. He's in so much stuff and still acting. I mean, he's got some movies, he's got some TV appearances that I see are, in 2021. So he's like a working actor, and I'm sure he looked familiar to you because he's been in so much stuff. If he doesn't look familiar to you, I don't know what to tell you. But yeah, that is the spotlight on Tony Todd. This is the only episode we will see him on 90210, though. And that is it for the spotlight and for the fun facts and tidbits for this episode. Thank you all for listening to Casa Walsh, Beverly Hills 90210 podcast. And on the next episode, we are going over season 7, episode 12, called Judgment Day. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you then.